I want to start this morning with reading from an article that a good friend sent me earlier this week. And it had me deep in thought for throughout most of the week. So just listen as I read. I'm just only going to read excerpts. This thing's like 8 pages long. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read excerpts and just kind of dwell on what I'm reading. Let it sink in. This is an article, it's an interview, and I'm going to just take out quotes from here and there. First quote, really what people experience is a sense of release of stress or a new insight and clarity about what's important to them or a renewed commitment to the goals in their life or an experience of sanctuary amid anxiety and pressure from the job. So it's really an emotional and spiritual experience. Another quote, more and more people talk about their experience of crying. Someone played a song and talked about her father-in-law who just died, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. More and more of that religious behavior is becoming explicit. Another quote, they've come looking for something, but they stay for the community. It's really the relationships that keep them coming back. That need for community was something that was so strong. People were longing for relationships that have meaning and the experience of belonging rather than just surface level relationships. Really nice deep quotes, right? Yeah. I don't know what you were thinking when I was reading those quotes. Very heartwarming that people are finding these very deep, meaningful experiences in these places they've been going. It's what we're all after, right? The title of the article is CrossFit is My Church. CrossFit is My Church. The subtitle, the tagline is, How Fitness Classes Provide the Meaning That Religion Once Did. None of the stuff I read was about church at all. Right? And now I'm going to go back and read some other quotes from the interview. This is a quote from the researcher reflecting on what people were saying about their experiences. We heard people say, well, CrossFit is my church, or SoulCycle is like my cult, in a good way. Once that religious perspective had been opened in our eyes, so many things came out, whether it's that flag on display in every CrossFit gym, right, the religious symbolisms, like the signs we usually have up, which we don't have this week, because we're in protest, right? No, we forgot the stuff we're hanging out. Right? Whether it's the flag on display in every CrossFit gym, the names of different workouts that are given to honor fallen servicemen and women, either in the police or in the military, right? So traditions honoring those who have gone before them, honoring those who are worthy of being honored. The way that the space is set up, or how you could follow a kind of liturgy in a soul cycle class, especially through their use of light and sound. Light and sound, right? Like when we dim the lights, well, we can't dim the lights here, but in church services, they'll dim the lights and, you know, they'll crank up the sound and bring in the fog machines, and that's supposed to be the Holy Spirit coming. No, it's not. Okay? Another quote. In the research, there are a growing number of people who don't fit in the religious box. And even if these people might say, I'm Catholic or Jewish or whatever, the institutions that were set up to serve them, the church or the synagogue or the Jewish community center, these places, the research found, was no longer having the same resonance in what they're offering to a lot of people. Right? People are looking for something, but in the churches, they're no longer finding what they're needing. Another quote, if you pray to Jesus, you can do that on your bike. But maybe somebody else just wants to soak up the good energy in the room or focus on breathing. All those things are possible in these classes. These spaces give you, as a participant, the freedom to integrate and select what you want to do. The theology is not pushed in your face. I think this is the last one I want to read. In SoulCycle, you guys know what SoulCycle is, right? It's, you know, a whole class of people on bikes, and they have to cycle together at the same speed, and Peter seems to know what it's all about. In SoulCycle, it's the darkness and the loudness of the music. You're overwhelmed by it, and the world gets very small. It's just that room you're in. Sounds like some of the worship experiences I've been in. Again, they dim the lights and they pump the music, and it's an emotional manipulation when you start to feel like it's just me here alone, right? You know, I don't know what it is that people go to church for. I don't know what it is they're seeking. From this article, at least, in this target group that they were looking at, it looked like people were looking for community, they were looking for belonging, they were looking for an experience of some sort. They're looking for something that resonates with them, something that pulls at them. Right? Now, there isn't anything wrong in any of these things. Again, there's nothing wrong in any of these things. The Bible teaches us that in the body of Christ, you will find community. But it's not a man-made community. It is a community that comes from all of us having the same life. We are brothers and sisters. We are all spiritually related. We're family. That's community, right? And it's a community that will foster growth in you, right? Iron sharpens iron, if you will allow it. You would experience something that's not of this world if you're seeking an experience of sorts. As you come and meet Jesus, that's what the Bible tells us, right? And as you are plugged into your created purpose of worshiping God, again, and I said this again and again, we are created for the sole purpose of worshiping God. And so as you are plugged into doing that, when we sang songs this morning, you know what you're doing? You are fulfilling your creative purpose. And as we do that, you will find a resonance. No wonder. No wonder that when we sing and praise God, there's something within us that says, this is right, this is good, this is what I was made to do. Because that is what we were made to do. And so you find all these things, you would expect to find them in church. But for a very specific reason, to glorify Jesus. Right? And I think this is where churches maybe are starting to meander and go off in wrong directions, because the churches have started to ask, how can we cater to the needs of the congregation? People first, right? How can we offer better products so the consumer base will grow? That sounds like a line right out of a board meeting in a secular company, right? How can we help the community around us, feed the poor, and clothe the needy? And again, all these are good things to consider. If a church is to serve the Lord faithfully, they need to think about these things. But it cannot be the primary and only focus, any of these things, right? I want to look in the Bible today. Look in the Bible today at how the Holy Spirit uses two of the apostles to establish what it is that the church needs to offer to the world. So turn in your Bibles with me. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read quickly verses 1 to 7. Follow along when you find your place. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. When I start reading this passage, I'm hoping that most of us are starting to sing the song in our heads. And if you haven't, it may be because you didn't grow up in Sunday school. Right? How many of you know what song I'm talking about? Okay, two people. Awesome. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. Okay, well, we'll teach them about that. There's a classic children's worship song that's built around this passage. Okay? So Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. So he was born lame, unable to walk. He was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. Right? So just picture in your head, Peter and John, ninth hour, what is it? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the hour of prayer. Not siesta. Hour of prayer, they're walking, they're going to the temple to pray, and they come by the gate, and here's this man, every morning they put him down there to ask for money, because he can't work. And he sees Peter and John coming, and he thinks, these men are going to pray, they're godly men, and if they're godly men, they will help me, because that's what we're supposed to do. So they're looking at Peter and John, and he's asking for alms, for money for the poor. And fixing his eyes on him, this is Peter now, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So this lame man, he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, not what the man wanted to hear, silver and gold I do not have. The man was asking for silver and gold. Peter says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Right? What had been wrong to give alms to this man? Absolutely not. If you remember, when Jesus was with them, the disciples, they had money set aside to help the poor. Right now, I know Judas was pilfering from it, but I do think most of the money was being used to help the poor. Right? So there's nothing wrong with giving money to the needy. The expectation here was that Peter and John would give this man some money. Right? But the alms are money and food that's given to the poor and needy because that's what they need. They need to live. But Peter said, look at us. And this man gave his attention, expecting to receive something from them. And oh boy, he did receive something from them. But not silver and gold. Peter's proclamation, silver and gold I do not have. Why? Because I'm on my way to prayer meeting. Why would I be carrying money with me? You don't need to pay to go to prayer meeting. Right? He's going to pray. But what I do have, Peter says, what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. But what I do have, I give to you. What exactly did Peter have? He had Jesus. He had Jesus. He says, and he had the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit within Jesus to give to this man what he needs, right? Notice what Peter says to him. He doesn't say, but what I do have, I give to you by the power vested in me, focusing on me, rise up and walk. He doesn't say, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Peter, the rock of Galilee, rise up and walk. Right? Where was the attention? Where was the power? Where was the authority coming from? What I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. First of all, Peter here, he is exercising the authority that has been given to him and to all of us. Did you know this authority has been given to all of us? In the book of John, Jesus tells the disciples, and through the disciples, he's telling all the rest of us, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Do you know what it's like to ask, to have the authority of the name of Jesus given to us? Now, look, there's a whole other series of sermons that I can preach on the authority of a name and why Peter says specifically Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why not Jesus Christ of heaven? There's a whole lot behind that, a whole lot of theology, but we don't need to get into it this morning, except to say this, there is something awesome about the authority of a name. Let me give you a really easy example. If Zoe goes up to Evan and says, "Your music is kind of loud, and it's not rock music, don't worry, he listens to classical music, he's a well-raised child. Your music is kind of loud, brother." "What did you say, brother?" She says, "Evan, can you turn it down? It's bothering me." "He's a good brother, he would, most of the times, but what if? What if that day he's just not feeling it?" "No, I'm not going to do it." Zoe, as a younger one, we taught respect to older siblings. She would have no authority. She would have to, you know, slink back to her room. "I'm studying about some music." If she came to him, if she came to him and says, "Daddy wants you to turn your music down," you can bet your last dollar that music goes down right away. Why? That is the authority of a name. When someone gives you the permission to use their name, right? Evan respects the authority of his father. The world has been named by Jesus. The world respects and falls under and submits to the authority of Jesus. And we have been given that authority. Peter here is exercising the authority of the name of Jesus. And what a name this name is. The name of Jesus. Right? The name of Daddy carries some authority, but it only goes so far. If Zoe goes up to some random stranger in the street and says, "Can you stop smoking? My daddy says to stop." "Who, your daddy? I don't care." Right? My name only carries so much power. But the name of Jesus. Oh, what a name we have been given, my friends. Right? And Peter this morning, he shows us this. Look, this is a key aspect of what is missing in many churches. This is what is missing in a lot of churches. A lot of attention is paid to the decor. What color should we paint our walls? What color carpet should we get? Well, no, maybe not carpet because it's hard to clean. You know, how should we decorate the sanctuary and the multi-purpose room? A lot of attention is given to the ambiance. What kind of lights should we use? Bright lights, it's really good for reading the Bible. It's nice and bright. But we want to create warmth. So maybe we should use something with a warmer light temperature, color temperature. A lot of attention is paid to that. We actually spent a lot of time deciding what kind of bulbs to use in the previous sanctuary we were in. A lot of time was spent on that, right? A lot of time is spent on what kind of music will we play? Because we've got to think about today's generation. What kind of music do they like? Maybe we should rap this morning about the power of Jesus Christ. No, see, there's a reason I don't rap. There's many reasons I don't rap, but that's why I can't, right? A lot of attention is spent to the texture of the fabric on the chairs. You think I'm kidding. When we were ordering pews for the previous church, we had them send samples, and we were touching them. We passed it around the staff meeting, touch it. Touch it. No, touch it, really. And feel it. What will people think when they sit on these things? The width of the chair. Too narrower, you can fit more chairs, but narrower, you're too close to the person next to you. Too wide, it feels like there's a gap between you and the next person because you want to foster just enough closeness, but not too much because we will have a bubble. Right? A lot, no PDA, a lot of attention is focused on these minute details. And I can guarantee you for every little decision, there was probably a committee set up to discuss it. These are the things that are important to churches today. Right? What kind of food do we serve? Oh man, we don't serve lunch here at church because a lot of people we talk to said, don't do it. When you serve lunch at church, nobody is happy all the time. You're always going to get someone complaining. There's committees set up to figure out what kind of food to serve. Right? All these things, a lot is done to make people feel welcome. A lot is done to make sure that the sermon is toned down so that no one is offended. We gotta take out any of the words or phrases or subject matters that might trigger somebody. Because we want to pay a lot of attention to making the people who sit here happy. Because they are our customers. They are our clients. They are the ones we're after. And when they're not happy, they don't tithe. And when they don't tithe, the church don't got money. So keep our customers happy. Right? And we work worked so hard to welcome everyone under this God, and we should work hard to welcome everyone, but not as a lower priority to welcoming Jesus. Jesus himself must first and foremost be who we welcome into the church. If Jesus don't like it, then I don't care. Who else likes it? It's got to be all about Jesus. And in so many situations, in so many worship services, so many gatherings, he is the missing piece. P-I-E-C-E, not P-E-A-C-E, although he is that too sometimes. He's the missing piece because, look, do you want to provide community and belonging? Yeah, we do. But you know what? Someone else out there can do it much better than any of us can. Right? There are groups dedicated to studying human psychology and what helps people bond, what helps people gel, how to bring certain demographics together. There's a lot of money spent in these research. I mean, the study that I read from this morning, that was another research project. Right? People out there can do it much better than we can. Right? If you want to provide purpose and meaning, again, businesses put a lot of investments into discovering what makes certain groups of people tick. And they will select the groups that they want to target. Guess what? They're usually selecting the groups that have the most disposable income. Right? They'll take the young professionals who have a lot of money to blow, and they'll figure out what drives them. What helps give them meaning in life? What gives them purpose? And companies define everything they are to give people meaning and purpose. Why? To make money. Right? If you want to provide purpose and meaning, there's places out there that do it much better than us. Right? You want to provide an emotional, spiritual experience? Dim the lights, crank the volume. The research has been done. Do that, and you can watch the dopamine firing off in your brain. Mimicking a real religious, spiritual experience. Clubs do it better than we do. You know what? Maybe instead of meeting here, maybe we should move our services to Saturday nights. Let's all go up to SF and hit the clubs and feel really good about something. Right? If you want to be up to date and you still want to resonate with the current generation, right? If that's all that we're after, if that's all we're seeking to do, you know what? Resonate this. I don't see anything different about this generation or the younger generations to come that says we don't need Jesus. It's not like the older generations were worse off and they needed Jesus and now we're different, right? There is none righteous, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and so everyone needs Jesus. Guess what? I've done the market research. You want to find a need that is going to cover all of humankind? Jesus. There is not a single soul out there that does not need Jesus. I didn't have to spend billions to figure that out. I've got the Bible telling me this. I've got my own personal experience telling me this. Right? Everyone needs Jesus. Talk about resonating with the generation. Every soul deep inside has an intrinsic need. Every human soul has an emptiness. And as a church, we ought to know how to meet that. Look, Jesus has to be front and center and key and absolutely vital to everything that we do. He has to be, because he is what is needed. Right? Everyone needs Jesus, whether or not they realize it. Right? I want to read just one last excerpt from this article. This is the last paragraph. It's not that religion is dying. It's just changing. Who are going to be the providers of content and wisdom and community that's going to help people belong and become, that need is not going to change. But that's how the article ended. You know what? This guy might be right. Religion, the outward things that are done, might be dying. But you know what? What people need is not religion. I've said it before and I've said it again. And I love saying this in church because it sounds wrong, but it is true. What people need is not religion. It's not the outward things that we do. The outward things that we do are crucial, yes, but that's not what we do. What people really need is not what this article says: content, wisdom, community, and belonging. Because as you fulfill all those parts of your life, the very basic emptiness of our soul has not changed. If Jesus is not there, you've still got a hole in your heart that only Jesus can fill. You can feel like you've filled your heart with all these other things, but at the end of the day, there's still going to be an emptiness in your heart if you don't have Jesus. Because we are all, I say all, not most, we are all sinners in need of grace. We are all in need of Jesus and His salvation. Right? And as Peter, the apostle, said, silver and gold I do not have. And you know, we would follow along with him. And today, as we've had more experience in being one of churches, we might say, along with him, silver and gold I do not have, but I do have some community. I do have some belonging and purpose and meaning. I do have some emotional and spiritual experience that I can offer you, and maybe something that resonates with your life. But none of that means anything without the one thing that I want to give you, is what we should say. None of that means anything. And that is, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, receive the power to overcome your weakness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be able to defeat your sin, to no longer be weak and crippled spiritually, but to rise up and walk. Right? I don't know what we're thinking. Well, some of you, I know what you're going through. And there's probably things you're going through that I don't know about, that you don't feel comfortable sharing. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up out of your depression. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up out of your loneliness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up out of the hate that's in your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up out of whatever depravity might have trapped you in sin. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up out of your frustration. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up out of your inability to get along with people, finding yourself constantly at odds, unable to forgive. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up over these things, because in Him we have victory. All the community, all the belonging, all the nice feeling isn't going to do it for you. Why? Because all of these things one day will come to an end. You find fellowship and belonging and community in this church. Good. I am glad. Guess what? There will come a day when this will end. By the Lord's leading, He sends all of us to different places. Or the Lord comes back and takes us home. Whatever the case is, whatever community you find, that cannot be your crutch, because that in and of itself will end. And I hope this doesn't happen, but we're all people. We're weak still. Sometimes we make mistakes, and I've seen groups of fellowship that were so close together at one time. Facebook is always reminding me of the fellowship that we used to have with some people. We were so close at one point. Now they're no longer in our lives. These things will happen. And it's okay. Because that's not what holds us up. What holds us up is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so I don't know what we all are facing this morning. But I pray and hope that you don't find your solution at CrossFit gyms and SoulCycle meetings. What I have, I want to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, no longer be in bondage to your troubles. Right? And this doesn't mean you're going to get everything that you want. The power that you desire has over you. What the name of Jesus gives us is the ability to overcome that power and that bondage. And so, what a name, this name of Jesus. I want to share one last story. This one gets close to home. You know, I've been pretty sick this week. And I can tell what I have is viral. Because usually when you have a virus, these viruses have like an internal clock built in. If you've ever had something viral, you go through the day, and there's periods when you're fine, and then there's periods of time where it's like the virus will say, all right, time to get to work, and your body just kind of like starts like, oh, I have no more strength, everything's sad on me. So this week, what happened is, certain time of day, usually toward the evening, I would start to feel feverish and cold at the same time, and ache all over, and all of a sudden I feel the energy starting to drain out of me. And sometimes it lasts through the day, but it comes and goes and it comes and goes. And my head starts to hurt and I can't think. And look, I know I'm a baby when I get sick. Right? Alice has had what I have for 5 weeks. She goes to work every day. Right? And here I am, you know, last night when I started to feel better, and we'll get to how that happened. When I started to feel better, the first thing I wanted to do was to praise Jesus, and I wanted to sing this hymn. And the hymn I wanted to sing is, Oh, How I Love Jesus, the third verse, if you remember. The verse where it says, And when the death dews lie cold on my brow, right? I mean, Alice is going to work every day dealing with this. I've had it for a week and I feel like I'm close to dying. Anyway, so I'm a weak one, right? And so last night in the evening, I felt this coming on again, right? I felt that drowsiness. I felt the energy sapping out of me, the aches in the bones and the fever inside, the chill in the very deep core. And I felt myself slipping. And I knew once I slipped out of it that I was going to be out for the rest of the night, which was not good because there was still a lot to prepare for this morning's sermon. And so I remember trying as I might, trying to get Alice's attention. She was in the other room working, and you know, finally through some ingenuity, I finally get her attention. And she comes in and she's like, what's wrong? You know, do you need me to speak tomorrow? Thought crossed my mind, but I said, no, actually, I need you to pray for me. And she prayed. She put her faith in Jesus, and she prayed for me. Laid her hand on me, and she prayed. And she prayed, and I remember at the end, she said, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Then, you know, she dragged me up, so I was in a sitting position, and I remember sitting there. Like, just think of a rag doll. You put him up and I got him and I was just sitting. I wasn't moving. But within 10 minutes, I'm telling you, I was able to move. I was able to work. And I was able to think. And I was able to put my thoughts down. Right? I know from experience this week, once I started slipping, I was done for the night. But this name of Jesus gives us so much. And so, you know, silver and gold I don't have. But what I have, I give to you. I hope all of us here this morning want to give that to others as well. But listen to what Peter says. What I have, I give to you. We gotta have it first. And guess what? We do have it. We've all been given the authority of the name of Jesus. We all have. Every single one of us here, as a believer, as a child of God, we have been given this authority. Okay? It's already been promised to us. But you and I, what we do need to do is to exercise our faith and grow in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Alice and I are always tirelessly trying to encourage everyone. Don't miss coming to church. Don't miss coming to Bible study. Don't miss the prayer meetings. Why? Because every time we come together, do you know what we're doing? We are exercising our faith. We are exercising our faith. And so, those of you that are not yet committed to a Bible study, if you're not able to make it a prayer meeting, come talk to me. If it's a matter of scheduling, you know, Brother Kenny shared with us at a conference a few weeks ago. You're a pastor, you do nothing all week, so you've got all the time in the world, right? Well, not really, but I make time. If it's a matter of scheduling, that's what prevents you from coming to Bible study and prayer meeting, talk to me. We'll make it work. Now, if it's a matter of priority, we're going to have a different conversation. But talk to me nonetheless, because we need to come together and come together often and exercise our faith so that we have what Peter has. And we have the power to exercise what has been given us in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If it's okay, I know my voice is almost shot, and I'm not going to play the guitar, but if it's okay with everyone, I would like to close the sermon with a simple song of praise of the name of Jesus. I think you would know the song. I'll read the lyrics for you, and we'll sing it together a cappella. His name is wonderful. If you know the title, you already know the first three lines. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. Right? This is why the name of Jesus is power. He is a mighty King. He's the Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, never changes. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Can we just sing that together? You don't have to. If you want to close your eyes and think upon the Lord as we do this, you can. Because you're not reading the lyrics anyways, and I'll lead us. And hopefully you can follow along. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He is a mighty King. He is the Master of everything. Jesus, I pray for each of us that we would be a vessel, Lord, worthy of carrying your name and all the power that comes with it. And send us out, Lord, into our communities and use us. That those we encounter who have a need, we can look at them and say, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up out of that miry pit that you are in and walk in the light of the Lord. Oh Jesus, give us all this power. Give us all this sanctity to carry your life within us. Do this in our midst, Lord, and make us a church that is filled with you, that is focused on you, that revolves around you, that lives for you and serves you. In the name of Jesus, I pray.